Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate this great feast of Christ the King, which was initiated by Pope Pius XI in his encyclical Quas Primas in 1925. And he placed it here on the last Sunday of October as the closest Sunday to All Saints. And it's meant to reveal the universal kingship of Christ and the universal subjection of all to his reign. And in doing so, it also reveals to us in its link to All Saints that we are under the same King as all of the blessed souls in heaven, but also our suffering brothers and sisters in purgatory. The reason for the encyclical was the spiraling into political insanity during his time, with the ever-encroaching socialist revolution as Europe's aristocratic families were declining and socialism was growing and spreading itself to other continents. The Holy Father saw fit to publish this encyclical to reveal that we are all subject to one King, and any political system that purports to establish a godless, materialist society, a utopia on earth without Christ, is destined to failure, to great suffering, and is a manifestation of a sort of self-imposed insanity. We heard in this Christological hymn of Colossians how everything came into being through Christ and exists for Christ. And so if we see anything outside of that context, we don't see it clearly. And so this becomes a form of self-imposed insanity. Our Lord says this line at the end of today's gospel, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Notice it's not the other way around, that those who hear my voice are of the truth. There's a primacy of belonging. This isn't the only time our Lord alludes to this order of events. He also says, "I am the good shepherd. My own know me and listen to my voice." So there's a primacy of belonging. We were formally consecrated to our Lord in our baptism. And so our parents, with the help of our godparents, made a solemn consecration of us to Him. Although He is the Creator and sovereign over all creation, we, in a very formal way that transforms our souls, makes us His possession. And as His own, we can hear His voice. As His own, belonging to the truth, we can recognize His interior movements. The truth. Pilate asks Him, "What is the truth?" John uses the word aletheia. Aletheia, if you remember your Greek mythology, there were five rivers in the underworld. For the Greeks, one was the river Lethos, which is the river of forgetfulness. And so aletheia means unforgetfulness. In other words, the truth is something that imposes itself. It's not something we reason towards. It's not something that we have to figure out. It manifests itself of itself. And in fact, our Lord says, "I am the truth." So the truth is not in our heads. The truth is a person who has revealed himself. As Paul says in the Christological hymn that we just heard, He is the image, the icon of the Father. If aletheia is the Greek word for truth, the Hebrew word is emet, and it entails three letters. The first letter of the Hebrew, aleph bet, the middle letter, and the last. In other words, the truth, emet, encompasses all reality. Nothing escapes the truth. Interestingly, if we take the first letter from Emet, you know, in Hebrew, letters have a conceptual meaning. They also have a numerical meaning. And so the Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew Aleph Bet, means one. It also means God. When we take that from the word for truth, Emet, we are left with Met, which is the Hebrew word for death. And so it's revealing to us what is the result of godlessness. Hence the reason for Quas Primas, the reason for this encyclical. All godlessness ends in death. Without him, we have no way, we have no truth, we have no life. And to belong to him is our great joy. To belong to him and to recognize that and rejoice in that is to live in the truth. Our godless society bristles at belonging. We Americans have this disordered desire for radical independence. Well, the national anthem of hell is "I did it my way." They all did it their way. Those in heaven did it God's way because they recognized who they are. They recognized that they were claimed for Christ in baptism. And in the funeral liturgy, the priest says, "May the Lord claim you as one of his flock. We belong to him." And there's a certain order of events that come from belonging. From belonging to Christ comes faith. And from faith comes behavior. So it's always going to be in that order: belonging, belief, and behavior. All truth comes from him, leads to him, is a reflection of him. Cardinal Ratzinger wrote, "Logos, that is reason, meaning, everything is there. There is a link with reason, a relationship with the meaning, since reason, the meaning, and Christ are one and the same thing. Rationality and meaning, which are there before and after Christ, adequate to Christ as the whole of the part. He is the all of what is found previously in the universe in separate parts. And he, as truth, has revealed himself not as a concept, but as love, as relational, overcoming the darkness of irrationality, of sin." An interesting Greek word for sin is alogon, which means something ill, something insane, something that goes against reason, against meaning. And so sin is not a breaking of rules. Sin is a breaking of a relationship. It's trying to wiggle out from the truth to live in my own reality, which goes nowhere good. Cardinal Ratzinger continues, "Christ as Logos is the internal structure of all reality, the creative reason that gives intelligibility to all that is." And St. Paul tells us in his Christological Hymn of Colossians that all things were created in him, through him, and for him. As a result, the revelation of the Son of Man means that what Christ teaches is not only rational, but also meta-rational. It elevates reason to a higher plane, to the place where Logos expresses truth and becomes the new principle from which we approach everything, such as our King and the Good Shepherd who comes to seek what's lost. We see in the lives of saints their own experience of this belonging, that even though they belong to our Lord from the moment of baptism, that there were moments of particularly special graces along their way of holiness. For example, in the case of St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "I'm no longer the son of Pietro Bernardone. From now on, all I want to be is one who says, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" And St. Teresa Lisieux also, after receiving a special grace, wrote in Manuscript C of The Story of a Soul, "I no longer belong to myself, I belong to Jesus Christ alone." And therefore, we are not orphans. We belong to him as subjects of a king, as children of the best of fathers, as lovers of a most faithful spouse, and as members of the church militant who strive and struggle to make it to our homeland, where the King is manifest in all His glory, we are also invited to reflect on our brothers and sisters who have made it, those souls in heaven, the blessed souls, the saints, and our union with them. They intercede for us. We can ask them for assistance. It would be good in November to read a life of a saint. But we're also intimately united with the suffering brothers and sisters in purgatory. We can be of great help to them in alleviating their sorrow and suffering. Saint Veronica Giuliani said that there's no martyrdom on this earth that is as painful as the pain of purgatory. There is no joy on this earth that is as profound as the joy that the souls in purgatory experience. And so they are confronted with reality, the reality of the result of their bad choices, but the reality of the one who has saved them and is preparing them for the beatific vision. We have an important task ahead of us throughout November, and we ought to take it seriously, interceding for them, having masses offered for them, praying for them, doing what we can to gain indulgences for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.